Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kurt and Marty. How are you all doing? Had a good night? You sleep well with all your neighbors in the room, making you tired. Well, we have a very tight schedule today, so I want to get right to the announcements. You guys remember these t-shirts from last year? Well, there are several left. And if you guys haven't got one or want another one because you have worn it out, because you wear these every day, like me, you can buy more of these, and the cost is 100 Swedish kroner. And we take money also in Danish kroner and euros and dollars. You can pay 100 euros as well. It doesn't matter to us, but we'll actually calculate the exchange rate. So we will be selling those during the sessions. And, between the sessions. Hey, English is not my first language. Between the sessions and during Daniel's session. No, I'm just kidding. And also throughout the conference, as long as we still have any. So, then we have the Viking Games coming up at 2:30. They got me to sign up. So, I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. I'm not, but I hope I will be then. And they are at 2:30. We'll gather right out here on the lawn. And we need some helpers to prepare some water balloons, okay? Don't get scared. We've done this before with the water balloons. But Niels is in charge of preparing the water balloons, and there are going to be a lot of water balloons. So we need preferably 8 helpers. And if you're very hungry already, if you want to help him, you can eat lunch first. You can cut in front of the line. And then at 1 o'clock exactly, you'll meet right outside of the main building. Niels is going to be there waiting. He's going to fast today from lunch, so he's going to be waiting there the whole time. And we need right now 8 volunteers who want to help to prepare the water balloons. If there are only 6, okay, but preferably 8. Yes, you, 2, 3, 4. Any more? 5, 6, 7. Do we get an 8th person or Alan 8? Perfect. Wonderful. Okay, don't forget at 1 o'clock. Otherwise, they dump them on you. So, that's the Viking Games. So we have a very tight schedule today. Yesterday, Daniel announced already that we're going to move the Q&A panel from Saturday afternoon to today, not parallel to the Viking Games. That would be a bummer, but we're going to squeeze it in between the last session this morning and lunch. So don't be worried. Lunch is not moved. Lunch will still be at 12:30. And when we are done with the second session this morning, when Daniel is done teaching, Theis will come up. We will not leave this room, except for if you have to use the restroom, and we will right away start with the question and answer time with the pastors. And you can already now send in, text in, or email in your questions that you might want to ask, because both Kyle and Daniel are going to preach through this passage this morning. So you can send text in or email those questions. I don't know if you guys can put up the slide real quick. The email address and the phone number will be displayed up here during the sessions. So if you already think of a really, really complicated question, then just text it in or mail it in. If we have time, we'll also take questions against by people raising their hands during the time. And if you have any problems with your house payment or your car payment, you can also ring that phone number. Theis promised he would help you. So, yeah, so are you guys ready for the word?
Yes.
I didn't forget anything? I don't think so. Okay, well, our next speaker comes from Hungary, or comes originally from the mothership, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And he's been in Hungary for quite a while. He's picked up a wonderful wife, and he has 2 children who are stayed behind in Hungary. And, you know, he told us that when he moved to Hungary, there was the pastor's wife was Swedish, and he learned Swedish fluently, so he's going to teach in Swedish today. And you guys all have to try to understand. But let me pray, and then we welcome Kyle Eckhart up, who's going to teach through the first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much for your word that's still the same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. We thank you for the opportunity to be taught through these very important chapters that are sometimes a little hard to understand, maybe, Lord. And I want to pray right now for Kyle, that you would bless him and speak through him right into our hearts, Lord. I pray that what we think of you and your gifts, Lord, that we could right now maybe lay that aside and just get a pure download from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Mikael.
Hey, my dude.
Bra? Okay, that's it. That's all my Swedish. I've been in Hungary for 20 years now, and about 14 years ago, a couple Finnish girls were part of our church. One of them was studying music in Seged, and then her sister, Mari, came to be part of our church and live with her sister, Kirsi, for about 6 months. She was part of Calvary, and well, the rest is history. She went to Bible college, met Bob, and it's a blessing to be here and to see what God is doing in Scandinavia. So I'm really thankful, humbled, and honored to be here teaching God's word to you. And I got to admit, I think they gave me the hardest passage this morning. I get to deal with prophecy and tongues. So we got a lot of work to do, and we need some prayer. I need more prayer, so let's pray. Jesus, we come to your word, and we ask that, as my brother Simeon prayed, you would help us to lay aside our preconceived notions about these two gifts. And we pray that your spirit would teach us. Anoint our ears to hear and anoint my lips to preach this section of scripture well for your glory and our benefit. In your name, Jesus, amen. Now, let's just get into the text. I've got a lot of Bible to read this morning, and then we'll talk about this crazy church in Corinth. I mean, they were one of the craziest churches you would ever go to. If you and I walked into the Corinthian church, it'd be like, is this a circus? I mean, it would probably look more like a circus than a church service. They were doing wild stuff, and so Paul's writing to correct a lot of the doctrinal mistakes they have and a lot of the moral issues they were dealing with. So chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read verses 1 to 25. Pursue love. I wish I could just stop right there, but I can't. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if your with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air, and there are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign, not for unbelievers, but for believers. If, therefore, the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you're out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, and the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Wow. You know, when they gave the teaching assignments, I was at first really excited, then I was like, oh, prophecy in tongues. Because these are two of the most confused and misunderstood gifts in the body. Both of them are spiritual gifts, both of them are given by the Holy Spirit, and both of them are given with the purpose so that we can do ministry for and like Jesus on the earth. So let's talk about, let's define what we're talking about, because I know you might come from a different background than Calvary Chapel. When I became a Christian, the first church I was ever taken to was Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and I know nothing else. I know nothing other than coming to church and hearing, open your Bibles to. That might not be your background, and so you might have a different view of what prophecy is or what, you know, speaking in tongues is. So I want to just step back, define these things, and then we'll go from there. Paul talks about tongues. It's speaking in a language that you don't know. It could be an earthly language. It could be a heavenly language. Paul seems to imply that when a person gets the spiritual gift of tongues, it's a heavenly language where you're praying to God, you're giving thanks to God, you're praising God, you're singing to God. It's a way of expressing prayer and praise. It's something that you don't understand, and Paul says, it's beneficial for you, it's beneficial for your spirit, even though you don't understand it. And because of the nature of tongues, if tongues are practiced in the church, as Paul is talking about, if there's no interpretation, how could we say amen? How could we be built up, and how could we be edified? You know, I know some people think that Hungarian is the language of heaven. Because Hungarian, they say it takes forever. It didn't take me forever. You know, I learned it in a few years by the grace of God. But if I spoke here in Hungarian, there would only be a handful of people, because amazingly enough, there's a small Hungarian contingent here this morning with us in Scandinavia. Only a few people would understand what I'm saying. But Daniel, my brother from Denmark, he'd be like, huh? I don't know what you're saying. How's that help me? You know, and Paul's saying, if I'm speaking in a tongue, and I do it in church, and there's no interpretation, everyone's going to sit there and be like, that's weird. So, the gift of tongues that the Holy Spirit gives to some people is for prayer and for praise. Now, when it comes to the gift of tongues, let me tell you the positions that we reject. Okay, we reject what I call the Pentecostal position. And that is that everybody should speak in tongues, because the gift of tongues is the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. We reject that view because, as we learned in chapter 12, the rhetorical questions Paul asked, does everybody speak in tongues? And as Alex told us, the answer is no. Not everybody has that gift. You know, not everybody is gifted by God to speak in a heavenly language, to pray and to praise God. So we reject the view that you have to speak in tongues to prove that the Holy Spirit is in your life. The other view that we reject is the cessationist view that there is no longer any need and there's no operation of this gift in the church. Yesterday, Joel, he taught wonderfully through 1 Corinthians 13, and man, that's the chapter every pastor would love to teach, and I was kind of jealous last night. Like, man, he got the love chapter. But he talked so well about that, you know, when Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, and some people think, well, you know, the gift of tongues, that was just the jump starter, the kickstarter to get the church going, and now that the perfect has come, and people interpret the perfect to be the Bible, and the Bible is perfect. The Bible is authoritative. The Bible is inspired by God. We do look to the Bible. We look to God's Word as our authority for life and practice. But that's not what Paul's talking about. It's not like, okay, they spoke in tongues, the canon of Scripture was complete, and then God said, okay, I'm going to pull the plug from the gifts of the Spirit. That's not true. The perfect that Joel talked about is the kingdom. It's about Jesus. When Jesus comes back, sets up his kingdom when we're with the Lord. That's perfect. And when that happens, the gifts of the Spirit will cease. Because when we're with the Lord, we're not going to need to speak in tongues. When we're with the Lord, we're not going to need to prophesy. All those things are going to pass away. But what's going to remain, as we learned last night, is love. And so we reject the view that to be a Christian, you have to speak in tongues. And we reject the view that there are no gifts of the Spirit for today, and there is no speaking in tongues today. Obviously, there are times when God does give people, maybe some of you have been given the gift of tongues by the Holy Spirit. And it's a prayer language. It's how you praise God. One of the things that we do in SEGA that I've kind of neglected over the past few months is I get together with the pastors of the small evangelical churches in our city, and we pray. And one of my dear, dear brothers, he's a Pentecostal pastor, and he has the gift of tongues. And so when we're praying, I always hear my brother, he's praying quietly in tongues. He's praising God. He's interceding to God. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I know that the gift of tongues operates today in the church. But the problem, as we know in Corinth, is they were out of control. And Daniel's going to deal with that. Daniel's going to deal with how the gift of tongues are to operate and the order and everything. But the way it was working in church in Corinth is, you know, people were coming into church and the church service would start and it'd be like, and it was like, what the heck is going on? Seriously, it was like a circus, you know, and it would be like, you know, Kurt leading us in worship on the keyboard here and then Mark coming up and saying, no, I'm going to start playing the guitar, and Kurt's playing, you know, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and Mark is playing, you know, something else. And it'd be like, it's just crazy. It's chaos. And that's what, you know, and then Mari would come up and she'd do something else. But that was the way the church service was happening in Corinth. And Daniel's going to put that in order for us later on this afternoon. But I'm just here to tell you it was wild. You know, I'm here to tell you that they were abusing this gift of God. If you have it, it's a beautiful thing. But like any gift, you're not supposed to abuse it. And what was going on here is they were abusing it. And so that's the gift of tongues. It's a heavenly prayer and praise language. Now we got prophecy. I think you're probably a little more familiar with prophecy because we know about the Old Testament. We know the Old Testament is a cessation of prophets. It's one prophet after another. And they're always coming and they're saying, thus saith the Lord. And this long line of prophets, they have this unique message to the people of God. And what they're doing is, oftentimes the prophets, they would come out of the wilderness, they wouldn't come out of the religious institution, and they would come and they would say, thus says the Lord. And basically their message was, repent. Because over and over again in the Old Testament, what we see is the people of God straying away from the commands and the path of God. And so God would anoint a person. He would just select someone. He would fill them with his spirit, and they would come out and they would prophesy. And we know that because they would often say, "Thus says the Lord." And a lot of times when we think about prophecy, that's what we think about. We think about men who, and these prophets, they were literally the mouthpieces of God. When they spoke, it was God moving through them. And a lot of these prophets, they would either speak or they would write. And so they were authoritative as the messenger of God. And so when they spoke, some people would listen, some people wouldn't. The life of a prophet wasn't an easy life because, you know, the prophet, they would come and, you know, maybe there would be some positive reception to the message, but by and large, most of the prophets were murdered. I mean, it wasn't an easy job. You know, you think it's like, oh yeah, you get to stand in front of people and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Yeah, you got to do it for a little while till they killed you. So you had to be bold, and that's why a lot of these prophets, I mean, they were bold, radical men, and they were filled with the Spirit. And yes, they did, like Elijah. Elijah went through depression because when people reject your message, it is kind of depressing. You know, and sometimes just pray for your pastor, you know, as he's teaching the Word of God and you see that he's kind of, you know, a little down in the dumps, just pray for him because maybe he feels like people aren't getting it. But you know, these prophets, they were anointed with the Spirit. And one of the things that we see in the Old Testament is you had the true prophets of God, and then you had the false prophets. You know, they were either prophesying in the name of the Lord, but they weren't speaking the heart of the Lord. They were kind of speaking their own ideas, their own thoughts. They would, you know, they would get their little prophet home Bible study group together. And they would say, okay, let's think of some stuff to say. Yeah, we know that, you know, we know that Jeremiah, he's saying this. Let's figure out, what can we say? Oh, yeah. You know, and a demon. I believe demons were there, and demons were saying, yeah, say this, say that. And so they would say, no, don't listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says we're going to be taken away captive. Don't listen to Jeremiah. God's going to break the bonds of our enemies. And the people, they like that. Because, you know, people like to hear positive messages. You know, and a lot of churches, what they're doing is they're not teaching the Bible. They're teaching positivity, freedom, prosperity, power. Which, you know, those are not all promised by God to every believer. You know, but some of the false prophets were saying, don't listen to Jeremiah. Listen to us. And people liked that message. And in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 18, God tells us how to judge whether a prophet is true or not. It's very simple. Listen to what they say. If it happens, they're a true prophet. If it doesn't happen, they're not a true prophet. Stone them. Because they're misrepresenting God. I mean, it's that easy. And so, we have these Old Testament prophets, but that's not, I don't think, the prophecy that Paul is speaking about here. He's not speaking about people who are speaking authoritatively, saying, I speak with the authority of God. I speak with the same authority as the Bible. Today, we don't have, we'll call them big P prophets. Prophets who come and say, thus says the Lord, what I'm saying to you is equal to Scripture. You know, you could write 1 Kyle or 2 Kyle. No, we don't have that anymore. We don't have big P prophets. We have little P prophets. And what Paul is talking about when he talks about prophecy is generally when God reveals something to an individual about a particular situation, and it's not spoken with the authority of Scripture. It's just, you know, you're talking with somebody, and I know there's a lot of prophecy that's going on here at the response time. I know, you know, a lot of you come, you've asked for prayer, you've got your issues, and I know as the pastors, as we're praying for you, I know God is giving words of prophecy, insight, and help to your situation and encouragement. And that's really what Paul's talking about here. Prophecy that is something God will reveal to you that you're to speak. It's not authoritative with Scripture. But it's just a word, a direct word for a person. Now, a lot of times, the gift of prophecy is active within the teaching and preaching ministry of the church. It's kind of the way I see it operating a lot of times is prophecy is woven in to the teaching ministry of a pastor, of a church. And what it does is the word of God is being taught. And a lot of times when a pastor is teaching the word and God is speaking prophecy through the pastor, he doesn't even know it. I can't even tell you how many times, you know, got up for Sunday service and preach and, you know, you guys who teach the Bible, you know what this is like. You feel like that bombed. Man, other people deserve better than that. I mean, some Sundays you're like, yeah, I just nailed it, you know. And other Sundays it's like, you know, and what's amazing is so many times when I feel like, man, that just stunk. Somebody will come up to me and say, wow, God spoke to me. God just ministered to me. I'm like, how? I mean, what were you listening? Oh, you're probably listening to the translation. we have a bilingual church, so you know, I preach in English. We have Hungarian translation, though other places I do sometimes preach in Hungarian. And I think, you know, maybe they're listening to translation. I don't know, but they're like, yeah, God spoke to me. And a lot of times, God weaves prophecy, the gift of prophecy, to encourage people, to give them instruction through teaching. And that's why at Calvary, we very strongly emphasize the teaching of God's Word. Like I said, I don't come from a background that's wild and charismatic. My background, my first church experience, you know, I went to a church on a Monday night and Greg Laurie was, preaching, and I remember the Bible study. He was preaching on Zacchaeus from Luke 19. And I, you know, I'm a kid. I was 16 years old, and I see this guy at the time. He must have been in his 40s, you know, mid to late 40s, and he's bald. And I'm thinking, he says, open your Bible. I don't even think I had a Bible, you know, and he just says, open your Bible. And then I started going to church, and this old guy, Chuck Smith, 60 some odd years old, open your Bible, open your Bible. And so that's what I'm used to, and that's why at Calvary, we, and it's not because of Chuck. We teach the Bible because Jesus was a Spirit-filled Bible teacher. You know, when Jesus began his ministry in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was going around and teaching in synagogues. And the synagogue was the Old Covenant version of the church. And Jesus was preaching and teaching the Bible. You know, in Luke chapter 4, he opens up the scroll of Isaiah. And he's teaching the Bible. And that's why we teach the Bible at Calvary, because it's the way Jesus did ministry, but it's also the way we believe that God, by and large, speaks prophecy to the church. So it's basically taking God's word and forth-telling it. Sometimes God does give prophecies where, you know, somebody will tell you the future or tell you what they think God has for you in the future. Sometimes it looks like this. God told me you need to do this. I remember there was a time my brother-in-law, great guy, he was helping out with a small church plant. And the guy who was planting the church tells my brother-in-law, hey, the Lord told me you need to move to the city where I'm at planting a church. My brother-in-law's like, God didn't tell me that. You know, sometimes people, they'll pull the, thus says the Lord, or the Lord told me. They use it as the God card. Because, you know, how can you argue when you say, the Lord told me? I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with that. Because it sounds so spiritual. You know, and so beware of people who will use the God card to manipulate you or tell you what they think you should do in the future. But there are also other times where God will speak to somebody and say, hey, I think God is telling me this about your future. You know, I had somebody do this to me years ago. A woman I know, she wrote me on Facebook, and she's watching something, and she said, "Hey, I was watching this thing, and this is what God showed me about you." And I kind of just, you know, disregarded it. And then the last year or so, I've seen how that prophecy that God gave that woman, and it wasn't like, "Kyle, thus says the Lord." It was just like, "Hey, this is what God is showing me." This last year, I've seen that prophecy kind of came true, and it did come true. You know, but it wasn't this manipulative, you know, this is what's going to happen in the future. Now, I do believe that God can give you a word of prophecy about your future. And the reason I believe that is because I know that God knows the future. God is above time, and God sees the end from the beginning. So God knows what's going to happen with you in a year, 2 years, 10 years. And so it's absolutely possible that God would give a friend, a pastor, whatever, a word about your future. But by and large, I believe what Paul is talking about here is not, you know, the foretelling of the future, but he's talking about the foretelling of the message of God, whether it's something God may lay on a person's heart for you or a message through the word of God itself. So now that we've defined tongues and prophecy, let's see what Paul says about this. He says, and I love this, pursue love. Pursue love. Yesterday, we learned, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "Hey, if I spoke in all tongues all day and all night, but I don't have love, I have nothing. If I prophesy and have all knowledge, but I don't have love, I have nothing." And what Paul says is to pursue love. Everybody in the body of Christ, every one of you, as we've learned so far, every one of us has gifts that the Holy Spirit sovereignly gives to us. And none of the gifts are better than the others. The gift of tongues is not better than prophecy. Helps is not better than tongues. Administration is not better than helps. Every one of us has different gifts. And in whatever gift God has given you, be it tongues, prophecy, helps, leadership, service, they're all to be expressed with love. Our gifts, the gifts that God gives you, are a way that you can express His love to other people, to the body of Christ. They're not for our own benefit per se. It's not about us. It's about other people. If you have the gift of helps, you love people by helping them. If you have the gift of service, you love people by serving them. If you have the gift of teaching, you love people by teaching them. Whatever you have, and God has given you at least one gift, probably more, but whatever you have, if you don't exercise it in love, you've missed the whole point. Because the point is to use your gift to glorify God and to love other people. And if you did that, it'd be great. But if you don't do that, then you've missed the whole point. Because Jesus said, the whole world will know that we're His disciples, not by speaking in tongues, but by loving one another. You know, I have talked with people. And I know my wife has talked with people. Charismatic Christians. I've got no problem with charismatic Christians. And they would, you know, ask. The first question out of a charismatic's mouth is usually, "So do you speak in tongues?" And it's like, if you don't, like they literally make you feel like you're a second class Christian. Or even a third class Christian. You know, because they see the evidence, well, if you really knew Jesus, if you were really baptized with the Spirit, you would speak in tongues. The evidence of Christian maturity, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not speaking in tongues or prophecy. It's, as we've learned, love. To love people, to love God, to love other people. Romans chapter 5 says that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What's the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life? Not that you can speak in tongues, and if you do, that's great. The evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in you is you love God and you love other people. Paul says the same thing about prophecy. It's great, but if you're not loving people, it's pointless. And that's the problem. That's the problem that was happening here in Corinth with the spiritual gifts. They had them. I mean, they had all the gifts, and it was radical. The problem was that how they were exercising them. They weren't exercising them in love. And the reason why, as we learned, love is far superior. And that's, you know, the reason love should be our first pursuit is because all these things are going to pass away. Love is what's going to remain when we're in the kingdom. When we're with the Lord, it's going to be love. Jesus isn't going to say, okay, those who speak in tongues over here, non-tongue speakers over here. It's not like first-class accommodations for the tongue speakers, second-class for the non-tongue speakers. It's not going to matter. And it shouldn't matter now. It shouldn't matter what your gift is. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't make you better than me. And my gift doesn't make me better than you. What we should pursue, the first thing and the most important thing, and I'm so thankful Paul says this when he's talking about prophecy and tongues. He says, pursue love. Pursue love. That is supreme. And yes, it is good. We should desire spiritual gifts. We should desire to get everything that our Father has for us. You know, I've got two daughters, 6 and 4. They're turning 6 and 4 soon. And we left the kids with my in-laws. And last night we were trying to Skype with them. My oldest daughter, she's like, Daddy, what are you bringing me? Because I told them I'd bring them presents from Sweden. You know, she has no idea where Sweden is, but, you know, she would love it here. There's so many horses when we were coming from the airport. My kids love horses. I mean, I wish we would have brought them, but maybe next time. But she's like, Dad, what are you going to bring? That's all she wanted to know. What gift am I going to get? That's good. But how are we like that with our Heavenly Father? Because I think some of us might be scared. We're like, yeah, we're cool with Jesus. We're cool with the Bible. But I forget who said it. Sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit like he's the weird cousin. He's like the guy that, yeah, he's part of the family, but, you know, you don't really, you know, you forget to invite him to like Christmas dinner. We're like that with the Holy Spirit. Because we're afraid, like, oh my gosh. If I ask God the Holy Spirit to give me a gift, I'm going to do something weird. I'm going to like jump up on those rings over there and start flipping and swinging. You know? You're not. And Daniel's going to tell us about this. That the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I'm going to let him deal with that. The point is, I think some of us might be afraid. We might be afraid to just ask God the Holy Spirit, what gift do you want to give me? Because maybe we've got a gift. Maybe we've got one gift and we're comfortable with our gift. You know, maybe you've got the gift of helps. That's an easy gift. It's not that hard. Helps is basically, you know, your friend calls you up and says, hey, we're moving. You're like, okay, I'm there on the other end of the couch. That's the gift of helps. You know, gift of administration is, yeah, I can put things in order or whatnot. And we're comfortable with those gifts. But the spiritual gifts, I mean, and I don't want to say spiritual gifts, forgive me, because they're all spiritual gifts. But the more charismatic gifts, maybe we're a little weary of tongues. Prophesy, well, what is that? But I think we should take a lesson from my 6-year-old and say, God, what gift do you want to give me? Because here's the thing. You know what Jesus taught us? He said, if we, being evil, give good gifts to our kids, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I mean, I'm not going to bring my kid back some dangerous toy from Sweden or some dangerous, I don't, is there anything dangerous here in Scandinavia except the Vikings? You know, Tice, I'm not going to take him home, you know. That might be a little dangerous and he wouldn't fit in my suitcase. But, you know, I'm not going to take her something dangerous. I'm going to take her something she can enjoy, she can play with. Hopefully she can share it and bless her sister, but, you know, we're still working on that one. But, you know, if we ask God to give us the gifts of the Spirit, He's not going to give you something freaky. He's not going to hurt you. It's not going to be weird. It's not going to be strange. But I think somehow, because we've seen so much abuse of the gifts of the Spirit, I think especially as Calvary Chapel, sometimes we're like, practically, I mean, theoretically, we believe in those things, but practically, we kind of shy away from them. But maybe we should not let somebody's abuse of something dictate how we operate and enjoy the gift of God. No? Paul is saying, do it in love and desire spiritual gifts. It's good. It's good for the Christian to desire spiritual gifts. What is not good is to make that an obsessive pursuit, to make that the all in all. The all in all, our goal as a Christian shouldn't be, yes, I've got the gift of tongues. You know, mark that, check that off the list. Our goal should be to learn to love more. We should pursue, we should strive to love God more, to love other people more, to love our cities more, to love our countries more. And Paul said if we desire spiritual gifts, we should desire to prophesy. What we should desire is to hear God's voice, whether it's through reading the Word, through prayer, through fellowship. We should desire to hear God's Word and then speak that to other people. Again, you know, it's not like, oh, I heard this. This is God's message for you. I think if God does give you a word of prophecy for somebody, the way you should approach it shouldn't be, thus says the Lord. But it should be rather, you know, I think this is what God would say to you. You know, and then you put it out there, and as we're going to see, that person needs to examine it. Examine, is that from the Lord or not? You know, like the example I shared earlier about my brother-in-law. The guy said, the Lord told me you need to move to my city. My brother-in-law quickly examined it, and he said, nah. But whenever you feel like God has something that He wants to say through you, and yes, I need to stop there. God can and God wants to use you to speak to other people. I mean, I look at myself, God uses me. I'm like, I'm right above Balaam's donkey, like barely. And if God can use a donkey and God can use me, God can use you to speak to people. You shouldn't think that, oh, I'm not a pastor. I'm not this, I'm not that. God can use any one of you to speak to anyone else. It's, are you hearing from God? And if you hear from God, how are you communicating that? As an arrogant, thus says the Lord, trying to be a big P prophet? Or, hey, I think this is what God is saying. And Paul wants people to prophesy because, first of all, he wants people to hear from God. Because how can you communicate from God without hearing from God? Because this tongues and prophecy, it's all about communication. It's all about God communicating to us, us communicating to other people, and us communicating to God. And so he says, yes, desire prophecy, desire to speak forth the word of God. When talking about tongues, he says it's a prayer language where you speak to God. It's prayer, it's praise, it's song. If there's no interpretation in the church, it should not be done in the church. It should be done in your private prayer closet. I remember years ago, we had a prayer meeting at church. This was, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago. And it was on a Monday night. And I remember we're praying and one girl, she speaks in tongues. And it was like, as a pastor, you're like, what do I do now? It was like, uh-oh. Because I've been in church services before where there was a time of worship and a time of prayer and somebody would speak in tongues and there'd be no interpretation and the pastor would get up on the stage and say, you know, we thank God for the gift of tongues, but because there's no interpretation, let's just not do it. But this girl, she prayed in tongues and I'm kind of freaking out. And then God gave somebody the interpretation. I'm like, yes. Whew. Didn't have to deal with that one. You know, as a young pastor, didn't know how to deal with it. You know, God graciously saved me, but danger avoided. But if there's no interpretation, it shouldn't be done in church. It's, you know, there's things that are good for a Christian in their private devotional lives that might not be good in church. And there needs to be sometimes a clear distinction between this is my prayer language, my prayer time, my personal thing where I'm personally edified. But if it doesn't edify the church, then it shouldn't be done in the church. Because the big idea here when Paul's talking about prophecy and edifying and really with all the gifts, they're to be done in love and they're to be done with the purpose to build up the church. Not to tear down the church, not to make people feel bad, because honestly, sometimes, if somebody comes to church and they speak in tongues or they talk about tongues, don't you feel bad sometimes? Don't you feel like, man, why don't I speak in tongues? I'm not that bad of a Christian. I haven't sinned that much. I know Jesus loves me. You know, that is not edifying your brother. It's not edifying to go up to somebody and say, I speak in tongues, do you? That is not edifying. We should use our gifts to edify other people and to demonstrate God's love to people. And so if you can't do it in a way that's edifying, if it doesn't happen where there's an interpretation, don't do it in church. Practice it at home all you want. You know, do it like my pastor friend. Do it in a way that doesn't draw attention to yourself. Because what was happening here in Corinth, everybody was seeking to draw attention to themselves. Oh, I got this tongue. Oh yeah, well my tongue's louder. Oh yeah, well my tongue's even louder than your tongue. Oh, you got one tongue? I got two tongues. You know, it was like, oh, I got this language, I got that language. Like literally, it was all about drawing attention to themselves. When the big idea in these verses is that we're to build up the church. And Paul encourages us in verse 12 that we're to strive to excel in building up the church. When we go to church, we should desire to hear from God and to serve the church. You know, so many people, they go to church and late, you know, I don't know how people get to church late at 10 o'clock. It's amazing to me. But anyways, they come to church and they just sit. Pastors know what this is like. You got the people in church just doing this. Or you got the ones, you know, they look like they're deep in prayer, you know. And they're not really building up the church. And they're building up nothing. You know, your goal when you go to church should be to hear from God. That's why when you pray, when you're going to church, you should pray, God, speak to me. You know, speak. Because anytime the Bible's opened, and no matter how poorly it's preached, I believe God will speak to you. But also, when you go to church, you shouldn't just look for yourself. You should look at what you can give to other people. Our only concern should not be our own edification. Our concern when we go to church isn't what we can get, but what we can give. And that was the problem here. They had this emotional hype. And so, yeah, it did seem cool. It did seem like the place to be. But there was no edification going on. There was just a lot of chaos. Everyone was looking out for their own good. You know, I know what people say. Well, doesn't Paul say that tongues are a sign for unbelievers? He does. Paul does say they're a sign. He doesn't say they're a good sign, though. Does he? A sign isn't necessarily good. Paul even quotes the Old Testament about how God brought judgment upon his people from the Assyrians who spoke another language. And so this chaos of tongues wasn't a sign of maturity and the filling of the Holy Spirit. It was evidence of conviction of the Holy Spirit and immaturity. It was a sign of their sin. It was a sign of their self-righteousness. It was a sign of their immaturity. Because look, just imagine we had a crazy church service and every one of us spoke in tongues. I mean, and a brand new person came in here, somebody who didn't know Jesus, and we're all, what would they think of us? Cuckoo. I know I would. I mean, if I would have walked to the, you know, this is my first time at this conference. If, you know, there would have been people hanging from chandeliers and tongues and, you know, that would be worship, I would have looked at my wife and said, let's change our plane tickets and go home. These people are crazy. Because that's what will happen. That's what Paul says will happen. If an unbeliever comes in and sees this chaos and these weird languages, they're going to think, crazy? Kind of don't want that. I got enough crazy, I don't need your crazy. You know? And again, the sole evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit is not tongues, it's love. You know, if we have the Holy Spirit, we might not all speak in tongues, but we're all going to love Jesus. And the important thing isn't if you speak in tongues. The important thing is you love Jesus. So, do we believe in the gift of tongues? Absolutely. Do we believe that the gift of tongues is abused? Absolutely. Should we get rid of the gift of tongues? Should we not pursue the gift of tongues? No. We should. We should not get rid of it. We should pursue it. If you do have the gift of tongues, use it in a context of privacy where you are edified, because it's the only gift that's for personal edification. And so use it in your own prayer time, or if there is an interpretation. But when, in the context of the church, and that's what Paul is dealing with, he's not dealing with individual, personal Christian life, he's dealing with church life. So, in the context of the church, if you have a gift, if you have the gift of tongues, be loving with it, be considerate of other people, and everything will be fine. You know? Do it. Whatever gift you have, and this is what I'm nailing on this morning. This is what I'm harping on, because I think this is important. Whatever gift you have, exercise it in love for the edification of the body. And whatever gift you have, praise God for your gift. Don't look down upon somebody else because they don't have the gift. And don't look up to somebody. Don't be envious because they have the gift. You know, don't worry about other people. And it's so sad that so often we worry about other people. What do they have? Why don't I have it? Huh? Why, huh? Worry about the gifts that God has given you. You seek the gifts that God has given you, because every one of us is unique. And God has a special plan for the gifts He's given you to build up that local church that you are a part of. And that is the goal. The goal is the mutual benefit at church meetings. And that happens when we put love first. So when it comes to the gift of prophecy, when it comes to the gifts of tongues, let me just say this. Pursue love. Pursue love. And strive to excel in building up the church. And if you keep these two things primary, God will take care of everything else. So when it comes to tongues, when it comes to prophecy, love, and build up the church. Hopefully I haven't confused you anymore about tongues. I know it's a confusing topic. Let's pray, and then Daniel will fix everything in the next session. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you sovereignly give gifts to us as you will. And Lord, this morning, as your children, we want to come before you and honestly and sincerely just ask, what gifts do you want to give to us? What are those things, those gifts you want to give us so that we could show your love to the body and edify the body? Maybe it is the gift of tongues. Maybe it is the gift of interpretation. Maybe it's the gift of prophecy. Maybe it's the gift of helps. Lord, would you in the coming days gift us with the gifts you want to give us, Holy Spirit? Thank you that you are an active God. Thank you that you empower us. And thank you that you gift us to love and to edify your church. I pray that every one of us would go back to our churches with the mindset to pursue love and to strive to build up the church. So gift us, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name.